Has anybody ever told you that, in a reassuring way, that you are in God's hands? You know, like the you maybe heard it in a sermon or two, or the Sunday school hymn, "He's got the whole world in his hands." It's that theology that sort of comes into our brain in terms of reassuring us. And yet you open your newsfeed and see that 70,000 people are now homeless because of Hurricane Dorian. And then you start singing the second verse, which is, "He's got the wind and the rain." And everything kind of falls apart. Preaching and singing about being in God's hands has to mean more than protection that seems arbitrary at best, and at other times negligent. When Jeremiah's words were first shared with the Israelites, it was a time of devastation. The Israelites had lost the promised land. They were taken into captivity. They had lost hope, and because of that, lost any sense that God was with them. The Israelite song was best sung by Janet Jackson in the mid-80s. "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" That's a pretty deep cut of Janet Jackson. Anyway, while we may not be totally familiar with Janet Jackson's discography, it's a song that comes easily to us. In times of disaster and failure and sorrow and election season, we wonder about the presence of God and what it's done for us lately. When hurricanes hit, as much as we think we know better, we wonder if those other Christians might be right about the disaster I had planned, as it says in the second half of this reading. We wonder if God plans destruction as easily as Jeremiah describes it. The prophet doesn't mince words. Speaking on behalf of God, the prophet knew that this was a make-or-break time for the people of Israel. They needed to believe that God was with them in times of disaster and failure and sorrow and election season, because they needed to know that they weren't alone. Not just in success and celebration, it's easy to believe in God at that point, but in those faith-testing moments, too. Much like the believer at the foot of the cross, are we Peter, unable to remain faithful, or are we Mary, who at the foot of the cross hears the powerful song echo through the hills, "We are not alone"? And yet, all that being said, it's almost as if I missed the point of this passage. The first four verses set up the dominant image for us to pay attention to. The prophet is told to go down to the potter's house, and there he will receive the message of God. Jeremiah goes down to the potter and watches the potter take a lump of clay and fashion it into a bowl. It was just as messy then as it is now. But not much has changed in the science of pottery between then and now. The potter slowly works with the clay, giving it shape and form, taking water when the clay seems inflexible, starting over if for some reason the clay isn't responding as it should. There's something intimate about the whole process. And if you've ever seen Ghost, right? I was going to break into Unchained Melody. Anyway! Man, my high school self is just reveling in the fact that I worked Ghost and Janet Jackson into a sermon. But there's an intimacy with clay. Getting your hands wet and dirty. It's the same thing that calls people to gardening. Feeling the earth and the earthworms and the smells and everything. Something about it being alive. Something about the potential about what might be. And so I want you to hold on to that image of God as the potter. And if you can stretch a little bit, think of yourself as the clay. Because I want you to think about the love and the care that has gone into your shaping. Think about your time growing up, those Sunday school moments where dear, dedicated souls spent time shaping you, followed a children's time with children with sand all over their hands. The time that the times that gave you boundaries and trust and love. Think too about those other moments of inflexibility that have been over your life. The times when the waters of baptism have splashed upon you and reminded you that you are to be love, even when it feels difficult to be so. Think of other times outside a church, those who have left fingerprints, kind and gentle fingerprints upon your very heart, those that have reminded you about your purpose when even you couldn't see it. Seeing us as in God's hands then becomes less about protection and more about the ongoing presence of God to work with us and shape us and lift us when disaster befalls us. God's hope is that we are always being shaped and reshaped. We are like clay in the hand of the potter. We are in God's hands. As one preacher said, God doesn't simply shape us once and for all. To this day, God tells Jeremiah, God's people are like clay that has not yet been fired. Clay that has not yet been fired is plastic. It may be shaped and reshaped indefinitely. It is a material of possibility, moldable and flexible and responsive. For we are people truly of possibility. In moments of disaster and times we fall apart, God reshapes us lovingly. And as much as this theology is in the text, I've got to name it before I destroy it a little bit. I don't believe God plans disaster against us. I don't believe God shapes evil against us. I believe that the prophet was so distressed at seeing the people of Israel give up all that they believed in, that in this time of capture and exile, the prophet needed to catch their attention. Because in that time, of that difficult time, they gave up their beliefs in God. They started believing as the Babylonians did. They were unsure of what God has done for them lately, believing instead that their captors and their God must be more powerful. It's easy to turn on the news and believe that hatred wins, that devastation wins, that destruction is the name of the game, that we can rape the earth for all of the resources and that'll be fine. Yet then, as now, Jeremiah is pleading to us for time and flexibility. Jeremiah is pleading for the Israelites to see the hand of the universe moving, even if it's slow, working and shaping for the good, so that we might see that in disaster and failure and sorrow and even election season, that God is working towards the good for all creation. Jeremiah is pleading for the Israelites to know that God is with them no matter what. Because you know what's awesome about this image from the first four verses? That pot that the potter was working on spoils. Doesn't turn out into a pot. There's no blame to the potter. There's no blame to the clay. It just is. The planned pot that was being shaped falls apart. Just like hurricanes, just like death, just like the loss of jobs or the loss of hope, it just happens in our life. Even in the potter's hands, our lives can fall apart. Even in the potter's hands, we can lose our shape, our faith. So why do we believe? Why have faith in a God that lets us fall apart when our lives become messy? Because the potter never loses faith in the clay. The potter never ceases to believe that something new can come from it. The potter knows that with time and patience and gentleness, that the clay can become something new and rise above the disaster of the moment. Clay that has not been fired is plastic. It may be reshaped and become something new. It is material of possibility, moldable and flexible and responsive. Because we are truly people of possibility. And in the hands of the potter, we become what is necessary for the time, only to be reshaped again. God desires nothing more for us than to be moldable and flexible. God wants nothing more for us than to live comfortable with transition. For the God who shaped you into being is with us now. God's fingerprints are upon your very heart. And when you fall apart, God will shape you again for the good of all creation. For we are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.